It's called unintended consequences. When you do something reprehensible, when you do something ill-advised, when you're reckless in your decision-making, as was the case when America invaded Iraq, which ended up giving Iraq to Iran, dramatically increased the Shia influence in the Middle East and led directly to the proxy war that has left already 200,000 dead in Syria. Well, there's smaller unintended consequences, you know, such as condemning the Huawei electronics company, telecommunications company, and accusing the Chinese of using them to spy when, in fact, it's America that is spying on them. Well, in this news, America lashed back at the Russians for what the Russians have not done, but what they suspect the Russians want to do by canceling the Visa and MasterCards of Russians close to Vladimir Putin. Now, what do you think is the unintended consequences of doing that? Do you think that those Russians are going to be inconvenienced now that their credit cards are canceled? Do you think they're just going to simply open new accounts out, debit cards, whatever they may wish to do, so they can continue to fly their corporate jets and stay in their yachts and fuel them and travel around the world? But think of this. Now, if you're a businessman or a politician in France, Germany, in Venezuela, in Colombia, in Japan, in China, what if you're a businessman or a politician in those countries and you see that the United States is canceling the credit card for individuals who have done nothing wrong just because it can? Wouldn't you choose other firms? Wouldn't you, as part of your due diligence and your responsibility to your business and to your country, to stop using any American credit mechanism and either pursue one that is not American or develop one that isn't American? It's the unintended consequence the NSA has placed on American technology companies. No one overseas wants to do business with Google, with Microsoft, with Facebook, with Cisco, with any American company. In fact, the Europeans now don't even want to use the American transatlantic cable for telecommunications and internet communications. They don't want to use American satellites. American companies now, like IBM, are being precluded from even bidding on projects around the world because everyone now knows that the NSA is using American companies, forcing them, issuing court orders that require them to divulge secrets. It's an unintended consequence, devastating to the one viable business in America. Turning to Aleppo, as I promised that we would do, Reuters is reporting that Aleppo is central to President Bashar al-Assad's goal of rescuing a viable state from the ruins of the Syrian war. Hence the grim message from his forces to its residents that 1 = 5. Now, a fair way to present this would be that the United States, through Qatar, through Saudi Arabia, through Turkey, through Kuwait, saw a way to reverse the damage that America had done by its invasion of Iraq, giving Iraq to Iran, and to thwart the gain and influence by the Sunni Muslims, the Shia Muslims out of Tehran, by fighting another proxy war, something America has done so many times in the past. And so it is the United States that has foisted this war upon Bashar al-Assad. He's a disgusting dictator. But this war is not his responsibility. He didn't start it. America did. And what he's trying to do is defend his government and his country from this foreign onslaught of weapons and fighters. And the one place right now that is at stake, because the Bashar al-Assad government, once Hezbollah engaged in the war, has proven to be a superior force to the Sunni jihadists. Now, that's surprising, ladies and gentlemen, because Sunnis outnumber Shia 3-1 in the region and 4-1 worldwide. And this is a worldwide proxy war. And the 46 majority Sunni governments outspend the 4 Shia majority governments by 10-1 on military weaponry, almost all of which is American. 10-1 in arms, 4-1 in personnel. Eventually, the Sunnis are going to win. That's what Yahweh tells us. That's what the numbers tell us. But right now, it's the Shia that are winning. And this last bastion of hope for the current assault is Aleppo. This quote, then, we told them, and this is the Syrian Defense Forces, we told them, and they're speaking to the residents of Aleppo, that every shell they fire equals 5 barrel bombs, said Amar, a local policeman in the city of Aleppo, who argued that any civilian hit by the highly destructive improvised weapons deserved it for tolerating the terrorists. It's sort of Israel's response, although Israel is far more humane. Israel's foreign policy as it relates to the Islamic terrorists, particularly from Hamas and from Hezbollah, that send missiles their way, is we hurt those who hurt us. Now, Israel will try to fire directly back at the missile batteries and will try to isolate the terrorists who have deployed those missiles against Israeli citizenry. But President Bashar al-Assad is not guided by the same God, nor the same morals, and he thinks that it's appropriate to kill civilians who have harbored the Sunni terrorists and that they are deserving collateral damage. This statement reads, they didn't believe us and they continued launching shells. So the army responded with a pounding of barrel bombs. End quote. Almost 2 years after the rebels grabbed half of Syria's biggest city, they're on the defensive, with government forces advancing on 3 sides. If Assad retakes Aleppo, he would be back in control of Syria's 3 largest cities, a bulwark from the Mediterranean provinces, including Tartarus, to the heartland of his minority Alawite sect. With the rest of the country split between autonomous Kurdish areas and the northeast, and a range of Sunni Islamist rebel groups in the east, that would be along Iraq's border, Syria's fragmentation could be irreversible. That's what's happening to the rest of the world. Wouldn't be so bad for Syria if that was the result. It won't be. The battle for Aleppo ebbs and flows. The rebels regain some high ground over the weekend, but Assad's forces struck back on Monday, dropping barrel bombs from helicopters on several rebel-held districts. The military ramped up its offensive in December, pummeling civilian areas with scores of barrel bombs. They're made from oil drums packed with explosives and shrapnel. They cause massive and indiscriminate destruction. Sounds like a low-tech version of America's cluster bombs, the bombs that we dropped so indiscriminately in Afghanistan and especially in Iraq, making enemies of the very people that we claimed we were going in to liberate. In 6 weeks, they killed more than 700 people, mostly civilians, and forced tens of thousands more from their homes. An example is Khajita. She's named for Mohammed's first wife and her six children. They fled their home in the Eastern District when it was struck by a barrel bomb. They passed through the death crossing, that's in quotes, a 100-meter stretch of sniper territory between Aleppo's eastern and western halves, hoping for a better life on the other side. When we reached the government side, the soldiers viciously beat us with a stick. It's funny. I'm laughing. I mean, it's sad. Why would I laugh? This poor woman and her children being beaten with a stick. But you think about it. You've got Senator John McClellan saying that, you know, the Syrians have all sorts of sophisticated weaponry and jet aircraft and attack helicopters and tanks, and that all that the rebels have, these peace-loving, freedom-fighting rebels have, is AK-47s. And here's the government dropping improvised explosive devices made out of oil cans and beating people with sticks. Denied a residency permit to live in the government-held territory, they sleep wherever they find shelter, moving every few days to evade one side or the other. New York Human Rights Watch said on Monday that satellite images showed 340 sites hit in opposition-controlled Aleppo between early November and late February. The damage appeared strongly consistent with the detonation of highly explosive, unguided bombs, barrel bombs, improvised explosive devices dropped from the air. The Western powers have condemned the use of barrel bombs as a war crime, but they continue to fall nearly every day in Aleppo and other parts of Syria, where more than 140,000 people have died in the last 3 years of war. A war started by the very people who are condemning the use of the barrel bombs. This story is Dateline Washington. It reads as follows. The National Security Agency, the NSA, has been recording all of a foreign country's phone calls, every single one of them, and then listening to the conversations up to a month later. Every one of them, the Washington Post reported. At the request of U.S. officials, the Post said that it would not identify the targeted country, or countries, plural, where the programs used was envisioned and deployed. Well, here's information that the NSA is listening to 100% of the telecommunications between Americans and one or more foreign countries. This goes way beyond the initial revelation that the NSA is recording data on every phone call made in this country, recording who made it, who the call was made to, how long the call occurred or took place, where the call emanated from, where the call was to in terms of its location, the length of the call. All of that information has been recorded by the NSA, and we knew that. That was the first revelation in the Snowden releases about the American government welching on the Fourth Amendment and spying on Americans without due process. But the President of the United States came out and he said, "We're not listening to your phone calls." Made a mockery of the release. But according now to the NSA, who asked the Washington Post, you say, you know, that story is true. There are countries where calls are either made to or from, where we listen to every aspect of those calls, every one of them. It's admitting that it's true. But it's also admitting that it's going way beyond simply recording the specifics of a call to listening to those calls. So just don't reveal to your readers which countries we're doing this with. It's chilling, folks. We've entered the Orwellian state, the police state that we so much dreaded. This is far worse than the Gestapo ever was. The program is the latest revelation in a trove of classified documents that former NSA systems analyst Edward Snowden provided to news organizations last year. Most of those documents have described the U.S. collecting massive amounts of data and text. This program is different, and that it records and then listens to phone calls. The NSA program dates to 2009 and is called Mystic. According to the documents obtained by the Post, it is used to intercept conversations in specific countries, and documents show that the NSA intends to use it in many more countries. It records all conversations across the identified foreign countries and stores billions of them. The program wasn't fully operational until 2011. One of the program's senior managers told the Post that Mystic is comparable to a time machine, meaning voices from any call can be replayed without requiring the NSA to identify a person before the conversations are collected, listened to, or analyzed. The conversations swept up by the NSA include those Americans make to any targeted country. Civil liberties and civil libertarians are concerned that this program and others like it continues to expand the targeted country list, and that the NSA will continue to hold data longer and longer, and that it will continue to expand its charter on unjustifiable reasons. This quote, it is a truly chilling revelation, and one that underscores just how high the stakes are in the debate that we are now having about bulk surveillance, said the legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union. The NSA has always wanted to record everything, and now it has the capacity to do so and is doing so. Being done so with your tax dollars. Being done in complete discord with the U.S. Constitution. 50% of Americans don't seem to care. The rest are way too apathetic to do anything about it. Yes, it's the late, once great United States. The article on the NSA concludes with the following words. The NSA is authorized to collect bulk signals intelligence, the type of intelligence that comes from radio signals and communications. For example, as long as the purpose of the collection is to counter threats regarding espionage. Espionage is a term that you would use to describe the old Cold War days where we were spying on them and they were spying on us. Russians couldn't give two hoots what we do. We're a laughingstock to them. The Chinese view us as a complete and utter joke. Espionage. Terrorism. You know, way back in 2001, the Islamic terrorist who sought to bring harm to this country learned that they could not communicate using cell phones, satellite phones, or the internet. That the most effective way for them to communicate was the old note in the hand of a courier. And they recognized that because they knew that the NSA was spying on all of their communications. They stopped communicating in this fashion way back before 2001. The only internet-based communication from Islamic terrorists are sites that are designed to be read by everyone in the world. And you don't need the NSA to type in the homepage of the Inspire magazine, for example. That's all you need is a internet-connected computer and some eyeballs, and you can read what they're saying publicly and privately. They don't communicate anymore and haven't for over a decade. You are never going to intercept any terrorist plot using the NSA's confiscation and invasion of telephone and internet-related privacy. That's why they can't name a single case where they have stopped a terrorist act as a result of their breach of privacy. The next is proliferation. Proliferation of what? That they can spy and confiscate private information to counter a threat of proliferation. Proliferation of what? Proliferation of the truth? Proliferation of news? Proliferation. Cybersecurity. And yet, who is the number one government-sponsored hack in the world? It's the United States government. You know, if you want cybersecurity, do away with the hacks on the CIA and the NSA and the Department of Defense. And safety of U.S. troops and transnational crime. Also, the NSA is now part of the Justice Department. It's a crime-stopping organization that it can use its capability outside of due process, outside of court orders, to spy on would-be thieves internationally. It's a crime-fighting organization as opposed to a national security organization. And how would U.S. troops be vulnerable if they weren't out invading countries? The NSA said it would not confirm the existence of Mystic, although it's obvious that it is a NSA program. Snowden revealed the internal documents that describe it. But a spokeswoman said that the NSA's collection programs are legal and done for national security purposes. Yeah, so long as those national security purposes are economics, transnational crime, cybersecurity proliferation, and espionage. Quote, the NSA does not conduct signals intelligence collection in any country or anywhere in the world unless, this is the, oh yeah, well we really do, unless it is necessary to advance U.S. national security and foreign policy interests. So now we've expanded. We can listen to the phone calls of the Chancellor of Germany, Merkel, because that's advancing foreign policy interests. We can raid the servers of a business in China because that is a economic interest. You see, there is no limit. It's whatever they wish to do, whenever they wish to do it, to whom they wish to investigate, to protect its citizens and the citizens of its allies and partners from harm. And as a spokesman, Van A. Vines said in an email, it's repulsive. They've never protected a single American citizen. They're violating the rights of their citizens. They're making their citizens imminently more vulnerable. And last time I checked, the United States did not have an obligation to protect citizens of allies and partners. This story came about 3 or 4 days before the one that I led this program with this morning. The dateline here is actually Beijing. The Chinese government called on the United States on Monday of this week to explain its actions and to halt the practice of cyber espionage. Yes, there is espionage. Yes, there is issues of cybersecurity. And the Chinese government have correctly pointed the finger at the United States. This is after reports that the National Security Agency has hacked its way into the computer systems of China's largest telecommunications company. The reports, based upon documents provided by the former security contractor Edward Snowden, related to how the spy agency penetrated the servers owned by the company, Huawei, and monitored communications by its senior executives in an effort to discover whether the executives had links to the Chinese military. The operation also sought to exploit the company's technology and to gain access to communications of customers who used Huawei cell phones, their fiber optic cables, and their network hubs. We as a country, immorally, hypocritically, did what we accused China of doing. China did not do what we actually did. And yet, we were the jabbers that told the world, don't do business with Huawei, because you will aid and abet the Chinese military, that they will spy on you, that they will hack into your servers, when we at the time were doing the very thing we were falsely accusing them of doing. Folks, there is no hope for a country that behaves this way. None. It's time to walk away. It's time to admit that it's hopelessly broken, that it can't be fixed. This is revolting. You ought to be ashamed if you're an American. Now, there is no shame among the nation's political leaders. There is no shame among the nation's military leaders. There is no shame among the American spies. But if there's any hope for you individually, you ought to be ashamed of your country. American officials, this article reads, have been working to block Huawei from entering the American telecommunications market, actually from entering the European telecommunications market as well, because of concerns that its equipment might somehow provide Chinese hackers with a backdoor for stealing American corporate and government secrets. And here was America doing that very thing. What's wrong with us? When did we become that which should be despised? When did this nation change? When did it lose its way? And why aren't there more people who seem to care? When you read this kind of news, the response isn't, let's throw the bums out, let's stop that program. It should be that this is way beyond what can be fixed. It should be to throw this spying revelation, this hacking revelation, this hypocritical lie into the same basket that you throw the counterproductive nature of America's military. The same bucket that you put both political parties. One just as bad as the other. Somewhere along the line, it's important to realize that there's a reason that God asked us to walk away from our country, from politics, from religion, from militarism, from patriotism, before we could engage in a relationship with Him. The reasons are everywhere. They scream out of the headlines of our newspapers. Everywhere. What God told us to do is in our interest. And it's time that we realize this. Now, I recognize that there is a growing, perhaps the fastest growing, segment of society who has come to realize that there can't be this much devastatingly immoral, ignorant, irrational, counterproductive news coming from the nation's political pundits, from the nation's leaders, from the nation's spy networks from the nation's military, from the nation's bankers and Federal Reserve, for there to be any hope of fixing it. They've stopped voting in elections. They've stopped going to church. They've stopped being political. And those are good things. And hopefully more and more people will wake up and join them. But that's not enough. It's our responsibility to expose and condemn these institutions. And then encourage people to look to Yahweh, to consider His guidance, to consider His covenant. Because, folks, it is the only hope. Governments cannot be trusted. They are counterproductive. Militaries don't provide your freedom. They rob you of it. There is no viable economy in the world today. It's time we trust Yahweh. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Before we go to a new topic, and the new topic was going to be the U.S. budget and accumulating debt, we have our good friend Glenn on the line. What part of what we've talked about today, Glenn, piques your interest?
Oh, a couple sides. Just the whole control obsession thing of the surveillance thing is just amazing to me. Can you imagine what a rich and wonderful life it must be to be sitting in a huge, fluorescently lit, wall-to-wall carpeted cavern, you know, at a cubicle farm, mm-hmm. listening to, "Hey, Aunt Sophie, how you doing? Here's your weather. Is the romance acting up? Did you get the birthday present I sent? How'd you make out with the plumber? Seen any kids lately? It must just be, you know, just wonderful."
Oh, yes. But, you know, it's not just a waste of time, as we found with the Hawaii Technologies hack. The NSA was listening into the private conversations of their executives. They were stealing Hawaii technology, providing it to American companies, doing all manner of malfeasance. You know, and I'm quite certain that when we hacked into the phone of Merkel in Germany, those conversations weren't always, "Hi, Aunt Sophie, how's the weather?"
Yeah, exactly. But even so, I mean, some of this stuff, you know, even if they're going, "Hey, baby, what you wearing?" You know,
yes.
Even that, I mean, it takes a sort of a twisted voyeuristic,
correct,
you know, kind of immature personality
to even go there and take a job there. I would agree with you. And, you know, it's interesting how they recruit now. The NSA is recruiting people right all the way down to elementary school. They're using things like Big Bird and other video game characters and they have this whole cartoon presence. And video cartoons, animation, with the talking animated characters talking to grade school students and asking them to consider a career in the NSA and how exciting it would be to work for your country and to protect your country. And they do this all the way through video game personalities and characters all the way through the high school level. And so they're actively recruiting people that must love this kind of stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, right. Well, the whole cartoon thing, the infantile, well, you know, mine, yesterday on the floor of the stock exchange, they had a bunch of King, you know, software publishing, mascot characters dressed up like little, you know, pieces of candy for the Candy Crush. When King Software Publishing went public yesterday. I mean, is this what we have to do? We have mascot characters walking around the NYSE, you know, to
they're recruiting for the NSA as we speak. There's something deeply troubling about that. And you know, the NSA has these summer intern programs where they take high school students and even younger students, and they try them out, and they try them out at their hacking skills. And code breaking is the 32-bit and 64-bit encryptions are tackled by young students as they're taught to be hackers and rewarded for being hackers.
Oh, that's a good way to get rich. Yeah, you plot a hack, you get busted, you get a wrist slap, and next thing you know, you're making millions of dollars as a
working for the NSA. Yeah, working for the NSA. It's in America, it's legal crime. That's what the Chinese said. It's like the thief calling out, "Stop, thief." You know, that's what we've become. And, you know, if you've seen aerial pictures of the NSA complex, I mean, it is the part that's above the ground is a city. And most of it is beneath the ground.
It's phenomenal. And I'm guessing if any of the rumors are true, that's just, those will be all interconnected underground by maglev trains and what have you, but I don't even know. About that.
You know, one of the things, too, that's interesting about the NSA, it's not civilian. It's run by a three-star general, and most of the NSA workers are in military uniforms. And don't think for a second that the NSA stands alone. If you were to eliminate the NSA tomorrow, you'd still have the NGIC, the National Ground Intelligence Center outside of Charlottesville, Virginia, that has become gargantuan. You'd still have the full Department of Defense intelligence. You'd still have the CIA. And today, the FBI is no longer limited to American Judas Prince. It's all over the world. Stay with us, Glenn. We'll be back with Shattering Myths after the news and commercial break.